One of the most pleasing things around here is to see these young people growing up, learning how to play musical instruments. Just blesses my heart, be it the piano or the brass or the violin or the woodwind. Just makes me so pleased and tremendous, very good. Appreciate it. I think, Faith, the elementary choir singing for us tonight. All right, kiddos, here we go. Come on up. She had them all ready. Most of them forgot they were singing. And so some of your parents are surprised right now. But anyway, so here we go. We're going to hear some songs, or a song, I guess, from this group right here. And that'll be a blessing, all right? Y'all sing it out good. Amen. Amen. They look pretty somber singing happiness is the Lord. Amen. That was good. At least they sang out. All right. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4. Find that passage. Book of Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at some verses there tonight. Hope it'll be a help to you. Philippians chapter 4. It's been good to have Deanna and I by our home just for a quick visit. And it won't be long till the school year's up down there, right? And she'll be back. I guess you're coming back for the summer. Amen. Good. And it's good to see the Hawkers tonight. Brother Mike and Carol, and that's Melanie's dad and mom. Always good to have it when they have them drop in for a service. If you can do it, let's stand together in honor of God's word. Philippians 4, beginning with verse number 6. Very familiar passage to you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I want to speak tonight on the subject good and best. Good and best. We'll understand as we get into it. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in church. Church is essential. We're here tonight to hear from heaven. I pray that you'll fill us all with your power, both speaker and listener. Lord, it's been a long week. It's been a busy stretch, and I know there are some tired bodies in the audience tonight, but I pray that you'll quicken our minds, our hearts. Lord, may we be anxious to hear from you tonight. So meet the needs in this room, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. It's been a little over a year now since all the COVID-19 and other non-COVID activities of that spring began to infiltrate our country. You remember mobs of angry, implacable looters. They burned stores, and they attacked federal buildings, and they rioted against the police and other authorities. And so that continues in some areas of our country even today. Since the inauguration of our current inept and sick president, I'm not saying sick in the sense of I'm sick of him. I think the man's sick. I really do. Things have gone even further south. Literally in the south, in the case of what's going on at the America-Mexico border down there, that you probably heard, they caught men from Yemen who were on the terrorist no-fly list. And they came into our country through Mexico. And they were on the no-fly list, the terrorist list. And you probably heard that. There's no telling how many criminals, terrorists, drug cartel members, human traffickers have benefited from the porous border situation since Biden changed all the policies. And gas has almost doubled in price. Other retail items have gotten more expensive. Some items are on back order months before you would get them. Court packing, raising the number of justices on the Supreme Court is in the bullseye of the Democratic-controlled House and Senate. And now we're hearing that climate change is somehow the cause of all this immigration surge into our climate change is what's bringing everybody to America. It's unbelievable. People are wound up tighter than a drum. Shootings and shooting deaths have increased. China and Russia are treating us like we're little first graders. They're playing us like a musical instrument. By all accounts and purposes, they're having their way in the world, unopposed by American ineptness. Sad. Masks are still an issue in the country. Brother Gardner was telling me as he came off the platform, he said, take a few snacks with you to California because you can't get in anywhere. The restaurants, whatever they're open, it was over an hour wait to get in any places. So masks are still an issue. Several small retail places still grieves me to drive through towns and see small retail stores boarded up. They're closed, not open for business. The government is giving out money to people who are not working. Everywhere you look, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring. I noticed tonight coming in, from out home, the All Saints Cemetery has a big sign up, hiring groundskeepers, $15 an hour, if you saw that. They can't get workers. Why work? Why work when you can have, listen very carefully to any young person here who gets an idea that, oh, man, that sounds like fun. There is more value in work than what you get paid for it. I talked to a man in our church. He was unemployed. Made $2,500 every 2 weeks on unemployment. Why would you work? But he's a real man. He went back to work. Took a pay cut to go back to work. It's insanity. Married man with a family can't hardly make it at $15 an hour. That's the only jobs that are open. And those that can work for $15 an hour don't want to. When they can stay home and get free money, free rent, free phone, free food. Growing sentiment to keep the schools closed. Teachers don't want to return to the classroom. Using COVID as an excuse. It's an excuse. That's all it is. It's an excuse. If you're listening and you're a teacher, I'm sorry. It's an excuse. They just don't want to go back to in-person learning. It's far easier to do it remotely instead of having to make the children behave in a classroom. Sad. I could go on and on, but you live in the same country I do. You are as aware of all this stuff as I am, maybe more, like many other people. I stopped watching the news about a year ago. I haven't watched any sporting event in over a year. Over a year, I've not watched a single sporting event. Really haven't missed it. I don't want to see it. It's not like I have to promise. You promised you wouldn't. No, I don't even. There's no desire to watch anymore. When the star of the NBA is tweeting out to a policeman, "You're next." If that had been anybody else, if that had been a conservative figure, what a ruckus would have been raised in this country. I had no desire. I've had to guard my intake since all this started. We talked about that a year ago when this started. Watch your intake. I look at the headlines on One America News Network on my phone, Newsmax and Breitbart. While I'm shaving, I might pull up a Newsmax video and listen to it while I'm shaving. If I see something that catches my eye, maybe read an article. What is happening is just sad, 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 sad. It's heartbreaking for an American. And in all this chaotic time, we've heard much about the increase of suicides and depression and anxiety and worry. And, of course, fear has assaulted people. And you know what, people? If a person is unsaved, why would they not be given over to anxiety? Why would they not be given over to depression? I mean, I can almost see it. I can understand somebody being unsaved and being fearful. But for God's people, it ought to be a different story. For God's people, there is something available to keep our minds and our hearts, and that something is peace. Peace. And parents, listen, if you've got children who are old enough in your home who are old enough, and they are able to, go. It doesn't go in one ear and out the other, over their heads. Don't dismiss your kids' fears and anxieties as being silly and immature. There is the potential for them to hear an abundance of statements from adults talking or news stories or even sermons that preachers must preach. Added together, it could become overwhelming for the kids, but they can and they need to live in peace. All of God's people do. Now look, Paul lived in a disturbing world. If you think Paul lived during a time when all was utopia, you're wrong. He lived in a chaotic world, engrossed in wickedness during his ministry. Nero was the ungodly heathen emperor most of Paul's ministry. And they think he ordered Paul's execution. And not just that, Paul served under duress for a lot of his ministry. We pointed that out before, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You go down through that chapter, and it's in painfulness and weariness and hunger and thirst and shipwreck and five times without beating, save 40 stripes, save one. His ministry was under duress often, okay? And yet, in spite of that, Paul spoke often of peace. I won't turn to these scriptures. Paul began and ended the book of Romans talking about peace. The book of 2 Corinthians. The book of Galatians. The book of Ephesians. The book of Philippians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. He began and ended all of those letters with some exhortation to peace. It sounds like God's people kind of were living in tumultuous times. And they needed the peace of God and the God of peace. And he wrote about it over and over again. Peace was something that characterized Paul's life. In the face of all this turmoil, both personally and nationally, politically, if you will, he learned to have peace in the face of turmoil, and you and I can do the same. He mentions in verse number 7, we're going to look at these verses in just a moment, but he mentions in verse number 7 the peace of God. And then he mentions at the end of verse number 9 the God of peace. Folks, it's wonderful to know we can have the attribute of God's peace and we can have the God of the attribute of peace. We don't have to choose between one or the other. We can have both. Think of it this way. You're traveling somewhere and you get lost. And you're driving through a small town. You don't really know where the next turn is. And pre-GPS days, and you see somebody, you roll down your window and say, "Hey, are you from around here?" And they say, "Yes." "Can you tell me how to get to such and such?" And it's a ways away. And so, yes, he starts giving you directions, and you get the directions. And after he's given you the directions, then he says something like, "You know what? Why don't I just show you? Follow me." So now you've got the directions, but you've got more than that. You've got the directions, which is good, but you've got the man who has the directions. That's best when you're lost. You have the directions from the man, which is good. You have the man who gave you the directions, which is best. And people, we can have the peace of God, which is good. But better than that, best of all, we can have the God of peace with us. You know, and it's not just the political and national difficulties that are swarming God's people. There are personal difficulties as well. People in our church have been through personal difficulties. People in our church have been through health difficulties, personally or people in their family. I will not, I refuse to forget Pam Britt. Refused to. She and her husband had been fixtures here. And I don't mean just half in, half out. I mean in. And I will not forget her and the struggles that she's had physically and the struggles that Kyle's had and the struggles that some other folks have had and the parents with Kyle. In fact, Greg and Glenda are out in Ohio today because Becca's overdue with the baby, and I think she was supposed to be induced today, I think. But is that right, Janice? So hopefully all things will go well there. People are facing job difficulties. I'm not talking about guys who don't want to work. I'm talking about guys who want to work. And they've applied and had interviews, and the phone is silent. If you've ever been in that position, there are multiple fronts on which people are facing difficulties. And I just want to say tonight, with all the things going on different fronts in life, we can have the peace of God, which is good. We can also have the God of peace, which is best. Don't have to live in anxiety. Don't have to live in worry. Don't have to live in fear. Do not have to be depressed. Do not have to be. Okay? How? Okay, three simple things from this passage. Very, very simple. And this is nothing new. How are you going to preach anything new out of Philippians chapter 4? First of all, if you're going to have the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best, number one, pray right. Pray right. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We are told to be careful for nothing. What does that word mean? Well, it means anxious. Well, I'm sure it means anxious. But what it means is do not be too full of care about anything. Folks, there is nothing that is too big or too small for God's attention. Look, if God visits every sparrow that dies, if He takes us to the ant, if He takes us to the spider to learn lessons from the ant and the spider, then there is nothing too small for God's attention. And I'm not sure, but that we have a harder time understanding that nothing is too small for Him more than understanding nothing is too big for Him. We are pretty good at running to God for the big things, believing He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Oh, but you know, these little small things that are like the little foxes that spoil the vines, that just eat away and eat away and eat away at our peace. We dare not bother Him, dare not bother our Father with small things because He's too what? He's too what? He's too busy. He's too unconcerned. He's too remote. He's too reclusive. No, 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 and no. He's not too busy. He's not too unconcerned. He's not too remote. He's not too reclusive to hear whatever it is that we are full of care about, whether it is big or small. And it's those small things that we never pray about that just add and add and add and add and add and add. And add. And we're full of it. Anxiety. Worry. God doesn't want us to live that way. We're to pray about it all. Be careful for nothing but in everything. And I'm not preaching to you as one tonight who is an example in this area. I need help with this. And I realize sometimes when I'm lying in bed at night and I can't fall asleep and my mind is just... And it's really not huge. It's the small things. And I haven't stopped and take time to talk to my Father in heaven about the small things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. We're to pray about it. We're to pray with fervency. We're to pray with urgency. That's what He says here. In everything by prayer and supplication. That's why He uses those words. Hey, church, it's perfectly okay to ask God about those small things and to ask Him with tears about the matters that are causing us to be full of care. I went back and reread several of the portions in the book of Job. Actually looked up words in the book of Job this week. And you know, when you read Job, you read the despair of a man who did not understand all that was going on in his life, right? He didn't get it. He cried in private. He cried in public. He cried in hope. He cried in hopelessness. He cried. Now, you know, there is a reverence with which we ought to approach God in prayer. But that does not mean that our humanity has to be hidden from Him. It can't be. Why lay in bed, wet the pillow with your tears, and then dry your tears and go with a stoic approach to God? Cry. Let the tears flow. Let them fall from your face. Let them trickle down your cheeks. That's what He's talking about here. And everything by prayer and supplication. It can't be hidden from Him. He knows it. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. How many times have I said, how many times have I heard people in this church say, boy, it's just not like it used to be. Joys departed. Tell it to Jesus alone. So there's the right way to pray right. as we pray and cry before God, there is a right way to do it. And you see it, and I pointed it out before. Verse number 6, it doesn't stop with just prayer and supplication. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Ouch. I've mentioned this often over the years. You've got to sprinkle your prayers and your crying before God with thanksgiving. This is the part of the equation when it comes to praying right about everything that I think sometimes we struggle with. We must find something for which to be thankful in the midst of all the chaos when we are asking and crying before Him. And you know what, folks? It really ought not be too hard to do. You know, for those of us who are concerned about the future of our nation, where it's going, you know what, folks? Look, we better stop and be thankful for the many years that God has allowed us to live in this country in freedom and peace. You know, we could have been born in a country dominated by communism where there is no God. What are you going to do with your anxiety then? Who's going to solve that? The government? I don't think so. We have enjoyed something in this nation, the likes of which many other nations in the world have not enjoyed. So as we watch our freedom shrinking, we have to be careful that we don't get so angry and so out of it, that we forget when we're praying, oh God, you got to help us. We have to sprinkle our praying and our supplication with thanksgiving. And Paul said, if you'll do that, you'll have the peace of God, which is good. But you'll have the God of peace, which is best. That's best. You know, turn back 2 pages. The man who wrote these words, he's not talking as a novice, okay? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 12, okay? Paul is writing the book of Philippians from where? A palace? He's writing it from jail. Verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, he's talking about imprisonment, in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, some of the other preachers and saved people were feeling bold because Paul had been jailed, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Somebody was out there preaching, trying to rub salt in the wounds of Paul. Now, wait a minute. But the other of love, verse 17, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do what? Do what? Yea, and will rejoice. You know what Paul found? He found a way through his praying and his crying to be thankful, to rejoice in a jail cell. I don't see anybody here tonight sitting in a jail cell. And yet God's people are worked up to no end when the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best, is available. But you got to pray right. You got to pray right. You got to pray and cry and then wipe your tears and say, but Lord, in spite of it all, I thank you that I belong to you. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I have a Bible. I'm thankful that I have a church to attend. I'm thankful, God, for I'm thankful for the freedoms I've grown up with in this. That's how it works. You have to pray right. Number two, if you're going to have the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best. Number two, back to Philippians chapter 4, back to the 4th. You got to think right. That's verse number 8. I won't take time to read all through verse number 8 again. But Paul told him, in order to have the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best, you not only have to pray right, you got to think right. So here's the question. What are you thinking about?
And here's this long list of things in the verse that Paul told us to think about. But the first one on the list is true. Do you know why some of our peace is gone? We've already written the script to what's going to happen. We have no idea if it's true or not. In our minds, we've already, well, this is going to happen. And you know what? Maybe it will. Maybe they will overwhelm the system to break the system, to then control the system. Maybe they will. But I don't know if that's going to happen in my lifetime or my kids' lifetime. I can't come to conclusions I don't know the answer to and run those. Look, do you remember Elijah? He just experienced that great victory on Mount Carmel. 850 prophets of Baal are destroyed. The Israelites fall on their face. The Lord, He's the God. The Lord, He's the God. And then he goes back into town. God sends rain. You talk about victories. And he goes back into town, and here's Jezebel. And here's the threat. God do so to me, more and also if your head's not like one of those 850 people by this time tomorrow. And he flees. Now he's scared. Now he's overwhelmed. And he said, O Lord, take away my life. I want to die. He ended up asking God to take his life. It was the result of wrong thinking. Elijah was thinking he could not bear up against what had come into his life. Elijah was thinking that what had happened to others was bound to happen to him. Well, we know what happened in Russia. We know what happened in China. Okay, I get it. Elijah was thinking that he was the only one left to serve God. You want to know how many of those thoughts were actually true? All you kids and King's kids, all you kids, that's a great big what? Goose egg. We have fun with that, King's kid. None of those thoughts were true. You take that one thought where he said, whatever happened to my predecessors is going to happen to me. Oh, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. Other prophets had lost their lives at the hand of Jezebel and similar wicked leaders. So he assumed he would also. That's what he thought. But do you remember how Elijah ended his life on earth? He went to heaven in a whirlwind that was caused by a chariot of fire. That's not what he thought would happen. But that's what happened. So how much of his thinking was true? And I know, look, I'm not saying don't be prudent. Prudent man foreseeth evil and passeth on. Simple, don't pass on. I murdered the verse, but you know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not saying we ought not think and prepare, but people, you just can't afford to let your thoughts run wild. They've got to be controlled. God is so good. So I had this message, and this morning I am reading for devotions, not for study, not for preaching. I am reading for devotions in Psalm 94. And Psalm 94 is talking about all the things that are going on in the nation of Israel that are against God's people and bad against God's people and anti-God's people. And then in verse number 19, the psalmist said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And I stopped. And I read it again. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And I read it again. And then I went back and put it in this sermon for tonight. The psalmist said, with all this chaos going on, I began to think about the comforts of God. And putting my mind on the comforts of God delighted my soul. Sounds like he had a little peace going on. And that's exactly what needs to happen for me and you. Paul also mentioned, whatsoever things are of good report. Well, how much good reports out there on the news? My wife will do the same thing, flip through her phone, look at the headline. She'll say, have you seen this today? I don't want to see it. I get enough bad reports as it is. There are so many things of bad and evil report, and those things can consume our minds. But people, we have to put our things on God's goodness to us, His mercy to us. We have to put our minds on God's comfort, and those things will delight our soul. There's a lot of good stuff out there. I heard this week, I saw this week how the young teenage man brought his neighbor to the service on Wednesday night. Invited him to come, and he was here. You might have seen him. Had longer hair, just you know. Dad's an agnostic. Brother Allen and Steve Eicher went by that young man's house yesterday and showed him from the Bible how to be saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and he had to work today. He's supposed to come. One of our teenagers brought him. That's a good report, isn't it? That's a good report. That doesn't make me full of anxiety. That comforts my soul. That delights my soul. And then I hear from my wife how a teenager went to visit a Bible college in another state. And while they were visiting this Bible college, some of the college students said, hey, sit with us. And we're sitting in the service, and a young person from our church is sitting there, and the college students out come their phones during the whole service texting and during the whole service. College students at a Bible college. The next service, a young person from our church went and sat by themselves. So I'm not going to be a part of that. That's a good report. That's a good report. That delighted my heart. That thrilled my soul. I don't get anxious over stuff like that. I get helped by stuff like that. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? You better limit the news to flip it through, looking at a headline. If it catches your, you know what catches my attention? You know what I've read in depth about this week is Israel. I'd like to know what's going on in Israel rather than what's happening in America. And Israel's getting shelled right now. But they're dishing it out too. And don't forget what God said about them. One will chase 100. And 1,000 will chase 10,000. If I was a betting man, I'd put my money on the Israelis. Amen. Might just do that. Stock market's bad, so amen. But anyway. Bitcoin's done, you think? I don't know. I'm just teasing. Okay. What are you thinking about? Stop! What are you thinking about? Well, these are what? Nobody's history of civilizations ever had days like this. Come on, people. Here's is right here. You want the peace of God, which is good. You want the God of peace, which is best. Pray right. Think right. Think right. Thirdly, lastly. Do right. How simple is this message? Look at verse number 9. Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And here's the word that we have the most trouble with. It's two letters. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know, Paul said that this church in Philippi, they had learned, they received, they'd heard, they'd seen in Him. Now, that's wonderful, isn't it? Hey, listen, it's wonderful to learn and receive truth in a sermon. It's even better to hear and see it in the life of the person preaching the sermon. Amen. Paul had taught them truth, and Paul had lived truth in front of them, so he was able to say to them, look, if you want the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best, do what I've taught you. Do the things I've preached to you. Do the things you've seen. And look, people, the very best of preachers, and that's not what you have here. You have a very ordinary man. And now, hey, look, these guys all could, Brother Angel, great. That goes in one ear and out the other. And it better. I have a wife sitting out there. She thinks I'm a pretty good fella. I got her buffaloed. But I got kids, and I got daughter-in-law, and I got son-in-law who see me when you don't. You got an ordinary man for a pastor. You could have the best of preachers who preach and teach, and people can learn and receive it while the preaching and the teaching is taking place. The very best of preachers can live out what they preach and teach in full view of those who hear them preach and teach. But at some point, those that learn and receive and hear and see, at some point, those that hear and listen and receive and learn, they must do. The application of truth into our lives is when the results of truth start to bear fruit in our lives. Here's the truth. I've got to apply it. I've got to pray right, think right, and do right. And if I do, the results of this truth are promised. I can have the peace of God. I can have the God of peace. James gives the admonition in chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. And not what? Here's the last part of the verse that's horrible. Deceiving your own selves. You know, it's horrible to be deceived in a bad way. Now, if it's a prank or a fun joke, okay, I can live. But I mean, it's horrible to be deceived. It's even more horrible to purposely deceive someone else to evil, right? But I can't think of anything more horrible than to deceive yourself. Why would I want to do that? But how many times does this happen in our type churches? People learn and receive and hear and see, but they don't do. And according to James, that's to deceive yourself. And then we wonder, well, you know, the Bible talks about peace, but I don't have it. Are you praying right? Are you thinking right? Are you doing right? That's it. It's all right there. It's not rocket science. Pray right, think right, do right. And the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best, will guard your minds and hearts. Keep your minds. Isn't that what we need right now? Isn't that what your children need? Keep your hearts and minds. You know, real peace characterized Paul's life in a world ruled by Nero and a ministry replete with difficulty. He knew the peace of God, which is good. And he knew the God of peace, which is best. Last Sunday, we always take the guest speakers on Sundays to our home for a meal. They love a home-cooked meal. And my wife's a good cook. And she cooks a special meal for them. Usually, not every time, but most every time, we'll put china out. That special kind of silver. What is that called? The silverware that I don't like. What is it called? What is it, sterling silver? What? We don't do that? Oh, we don't do that. Oh, okay. I thought you did that. I thought that. Okay, never mind. It's okay. You can tell me I lost my mind. It's obvious that I have. But anyway, there's these little dinky. That's at your house, Mom. That's at your house. There's these little. It's so dinky. I can't. Give me a man's fork. Give me a man's spoon. Give me a man's piece of silverware, not some little cute thing. Y'all with me? That's what it is. Okay. Anyway, we had the Gomez's out to our house. My wife fixes a delicious meal. And so we pull into the drive there. She's already at the house. They're following me to the house. We pull in the lane there and park, and I get out, and they pull in their Jeep there, and they were getting out. And right there, years ago, I planted two apple trees, a red delicious and a gold delicious. And the red delicious is dying. Back in 14, the rabbits, we had that horrible winter. The rabbits ate all the bark off the trees, and it's dying. It's got 2/3 of it's dead. I cut some of it out already. I need to cut more of it out. Brother Gomez got out of the Jeep, and he was just looking at that apple tree. And I thought, he's thinking, that thing's dead. So, yeah, that tree's dying. I cut some of it out already. You can see where I cut it there. I got to cut out that piece, and I got to cut out that piece. It's dying. He said, that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at that little bird sitting in the nest there in the branches of that dead tree. And sure enough, I looked. And there's a little bird sitting there, surrounded by death, just as peaceful as could be. In that nest. That can be you, and that can be me in this dying world. If we pray right, think right, and do right, we can have the peace of God, which is good. We can have the God of peace, which is best. Amen. How simple is that? Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I pray that you'll please bless the message to our hearts tonight. We don't want to be foolish. We're alarmed. But Lord, Paul lived in a difficult time and he spoke often of peace. Peace, peace. Help us to live with the peace of God, which is good, and the God of peace, which is best. Help us to pray right, think right, and do right in this tumultuous time, I pray. Thank you for the promise that your peace will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Head your bow. If you're here tonight, you need to be saved. The altar is always open for salvation and baptism. Maybe you need to come tonight and ask God to help you pray right, think right, do right, so that you can have the peace God wants you to have. As we play the invitation hymn, you obey the Lord tonight. Come. In the midst of a dying world, we can be like that little bird sitting in those branches, that little nest. Now, you know if your thoughts have been right. You know if the little foxes that spoil the vines of peace have been eaten away in your life. You know that. So come tonight. Tell God you want to get your thoughts right. And usually, whatever we've been looking at and hearing through the eye gate and the ear gate is what we've been thinking about. So protect that. Think right. Pray right. Do right. How simple. May God help us. May God help us tonight.